Good morning, Kay. It's Tuesday, the 9th of January. Probably should never start a conversation with the mic starting to pop up open.
Tickling him, for the record.
Cody Rogan's. No, that would bring on a whole different set of scenarios. From the Humboldt County Airport or Division or whatever, the guy in charge of the airplanes, whatever.
Morning, Brian.
Yeah. Huh? You know, the funny thing? It was humorous, and now I've totally forgotten it. trying to be as smooth as I am. Yeah,
oh,
right,
yeah.
Okay. I'll get even, though, because you get asked to answer the question.
As cool as the other side of the pillow. Let's see if you can find that saying in there.
Okay. Why is a lottery winning called a jackpot?
Does it have to do with the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? I have no idea.
And you've proven that.
Every time.
Yes. A jackpot is any large amount of money won through gambling. The word comes from a game of draw poker in which the only a player dealt a pair of jacks or better can open. Several hands are usually dealt before this happens, and with each deal, the players must add to the ante, which can grow to a considerable amount of money, the jackpot. When two jacks are finally dealt and a player opens the betting, the winner will then take the jackpot.
Yeah, there's a reason I didn't know any of that history.
Cards?
Yeah, well, in fact, I played poker with some friends recently for the first time since high school, and had to look up the order of hands before I sat down at the table. So. Didn't win that tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I'm suspecting that you were the feeder in this one.
Yep.
The Fed. Yeah. Well, it obviously the topic du jour now in the airplane industry is flying parts.
Yes.
From what you know. What kind of light can you shed on this?
Yeah, I definitely won't speculate. I've done a little bit of reading on it, but when incidents like this occur, I honestly try not to read the headlines because there's a lot of speculation in those at times. And what I do is, you know, down the road is read the NTSB, the official report, and try to learn from that, as most in aviation do. As far as the nation's system of aviation, there's a reason this is such a big headline, and that's because stuff like this doesn't happen very often, which is a good thing and a testament to the FAA and all the safety partners that we work with on a daily basis of a very strong, sound system that is the safest aviation system in the whole world. But that's due to that diligence, obviously. Something happened. Somebody missed something here, and that will be addressed in the future by Boeing and the regulators.
It still is amazing to me that something that large can get up off the ground.
Oh, it,
I mean, I know
absolutely.
How something as light and lively as me, how far I can't go to see something that big, loaded with a bunch of me in it,
right,
being able to get up. What I would imagine that you've had some experience in physics and seen some of those pressures and stressors. Mm-hmm. How much is it when planes take off? Is it really extraordinary? I mean, it would appear like it should be.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, those engines, even on the regional jets that we have operating in and out of here on a daily basis, you have tens of thousands of pounds of thrust going through those jet engines to get something, as you mentioned, of that size and weight going at a speed where the physics do start kicking in. And in ground school, many, many years ago, when I was in my private pilot course, you know, it was fascinating learning about Bernoulli's principle and, you know, really how simple it is. It's not super scientific. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand it. My God, I understand it. But it's those simple physics characteristics. You get enough speed, you get the right pressures above and below the wing with the Bernoulli's principle there, and all of a sudden you have lift, and you continue on with that. Of course, the incident with the Boeing jet earlier this week was due to pressurization in the cabin. A lot of times when you're flying at altitude, 30, 35,000 feet when you're cruising across the country at 500 miles an hour or more. If you look on the little computer screen in front of you, sometimes it's negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit outside. So that's another fascinating aspect of, okay, I'm miles above the Earth's surface. I'm cruising at over 500 miles an hour through air that's negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, that it, you put all that together, and it's quite fascinating that we have tens of thousands of safe flights every single day in the country.
Well, and you understand why it's not an open air cockpit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A little faster and higher than those ones, in the early 20th century. That
strap
were
you onto the biplane wing.
Wasn't quite as cold for those guys, but there's a reason they had those thick jackets and hats.
Can you imagine? I have no way of being able to figure this out. Somebody, okay, they want to test this principle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go as fast as we can into maybe there could be a cliff or something like that. Let's see if it works. Are you kidding me?
Well, and that's that same principle, that's what's continuing to push aviation and has for over 100 years in our country now. The United States is the capital of aviation. It employs hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people across the country, not just at airports, but these big manufacturers. And you have defense industry partners like Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all these others. It is a huge driver of our economy. And it's not just the million plus people that are sitting in airline seats every day and all the people there to support them. There's so much more to it, and especially here in California. William Boeing, yes, the capital of the Boeing company for many years was Seattle, Washington, and that's where they did everything, was in the sound up there. But he actually considered moving his company to Southern California back in the day, and part of the reason Pike's Place Market is up in Seattle was a draw by the local politicians to convince him to keep his company in the Seattle Sound. So, but there is a big presence here, and it continues to drive not just the California economy, but the whole U.S. economy.
Okay, you summed that one up. KINS! And this is totally unrehearsed. What was, is that Face the Nation?
What?
Oh. Unrehearsed and live, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Well, you can tell we're unrehearsed. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogitz, who's in charge of Humboldt County Aviation. I guess I got her close that time.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you're doing great, Brian.
Yeah.
3-4 years into this, you're starting to figure it out.
Starting to recognize you in a crowd.
You just got to look way down.
Yeah. How similar is the airline industry, aviation, and the space industry, NASA?
That is a great question. I have not honestly read up a whole lot on that evolving space industry that Elon and Bezos and all those.
Yeah, something crapped out this morning. I think they said that.
I didn't even hear, but I am good friends with the gentleman that manages the Mojave Spaceport down there in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
And so I know he is, he doesn't work with Bezos or any of those bigwigs directly, but those companies all have R&D going on at the facility that he manages. So when I do see him once or twice a year at state meetings or we're on a Zoom call together, he'll he'll stay on afterwards and tell a quick story, but oftentimes he has to cut himself off and say, oh, wait, I can't share any more than I already have. In fact, I might have already shared too much. So, it is interesting. And again, going back to our first segment, that's really that leading technology. You know, we continue to push forward in aviation, which is one of the many reasons why I love working in the industry, is that's still happening right here in California and employing tens of thousands of people down there.
Have you ever gone to either any of the NASA museums?
I have.
And, you know, like maybe touched a capsule or something, you know, something that's really totally geeky but so cool?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I've been fortunate enough in my career when I worked at Boeing Field up in Seattle. That was another thing that the Seattle politicians did back in the day to keep William Boeing headquartered up there. They actually have a space shuttle trainer at the Museum of Flight, which is super cool. I definitely encourage listeners to check that out the next time they're in Seattle. The Museum of Flight, a portion of it is actually the Red Barn that William Boeing started the company in, and they have a mocked-up assembly line like he had in the early 1900s when he started building aircraft while his buddy Henry Ford was out doing the same thing, you know.
With really, wheels.
Yeah. And so it's really, really fascinating and a great learning opportunity, but they've also added a space shuttle trainer that NASA donated to them. I think it was about 5 or 10 years ago they added that facility, but really, really, really cool experience. And also, if you're out heading to the East Coast in D.C., a lot of people go to the Air and Space Museum down on the National Mall. Very cool experience. However, there's a much, much larger museum that's, I think, about a half a mile long and filled with aircraft from every era, much larger than the one on the National Mall, and that's just adjacent to the Dulles Airport. So I can't ever pronounce the guy's name that it's named after, but if you Google it, the Space Museum out by the Dulles Airport is something else to take in.
I think I would probably, Druthers, I'd either go to Florida or Houston.
Yeah, and I've been to Houston.
Even the airport there has got some cool little things that just is enough to whet your appetite.
It does, but I unfortunately didn't have the time to go check out NASA. I was down there visiting my sister many years ago, and she had just spent a couple weeks at that facility. She was a blossoming teacher at the time and won a scholarship to go down and learn how to better teach science and math to students as she was getting out of college. So she didn't want to go back to the NASA facility she'd just spent 2 weeks at. So big brother got to
you didn't lean
take
into
her
that?
Around and take her out to dinner and go see downtown Houston. But we didn't get to go out to the NASA Center. But
downtown
I will be
Houston?
Back. Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. No. go to NASA's facilities. Yeah. That's all I'll say there. Yeah. Haven't seen them, but
unless
they gotta be
to
better.
Maybe if you went to the ballpark. Maybe.
Didn't make it there either. It was the heart of summer, and I didn't even want to be outside.
It's covered.
Oh, I know, but walking there, you walk out of your hotel room in Houston in the summer, and you got to turn around and go back and shower.
Yeah, but if everybody else is in the same condition, you just kind of look around and wonder where the tidal wave
is. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, no, Texas in summer just is not a combination that's particularly attractive.
No, not one bit. Love Texas, have great friends there, but I'll go see them in the wintertime.
Yeah, maybe during late football season.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking about football, too bad, huh? Sorry.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you bringing it up. As I've said every year of my life, cheering for the Vikings, being from the Midwest, don't you know, it's better luck next year. We'll get them next year. So.
Well, and the Packers made it. That even makes it worse, huh?
It really does. I was a Bears fan last weekend, trying to have them beat the Packers out of the playoffs.
That almost goes against your grain as well.
It does, but, you know, you gotta go with the wind and really hoping for the Packers to be out of there. But they face my second least favorite team in the Cowboys, speaking of Texas, coming up here. So I think I'm in agreement with a lot of the 49ers fans that might be listening there. But we'll see who comes out on top there. I just hope whoever does loses in the second round. So, and I'll keep reading up on the draft for next year regarding my Vikings.
So this isn't a pro, this is an anti.
That's it. I love wild card weekend. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to be back in St. Louis, and it's their fanfare weekend.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And we're like 2 blocks away from the ballpark.
And I'll tell you, having been to St. Louis, you talk about rabid sports fans. Town is very passionate.
No,
it's cool to see.
I'm thinking you talk about cold.
Well, that too. Yeah.
This weekend it's supposed to be kind of nippy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogatz. Okay, 8:34 and change.
Sure.
I noticed you looked.
Oh, I did.
You were going to bust me on it.
No,
I know. I beat you to the punch.
We were on the break here, and you're talking about barbecue. I'm like, my stomach shouldn't be growling at 8:34 in the morning, but it is.
Cause it does if all you have is cranberry juice in the morning. I'm right there. Oh, now last time we got together, you were talking about going on a road trip and trying to attract another carrier to the area.
Yep.
Any progress in that arena?
Yeah, there's progress. We're staying in front of them. Nothing exciting to report yet, but you know, it's kind of the same old story we continue to hear, unfortunately, from the entire airline industry. And this isn't, you know, headline breaking news here, but it's we don't have enough pilots. Yes, we'd really like to start Route X to ACV. Yep, we understand that the research, Cody, that you and your team have done shows that the demand is there, and we appreciate you doing that, but we just don't have enough pilots to be able to fly that route. Oh, Lord, don't bring that up. Hey, he's sending me secret notes like elementary class here now.
Well, yeah, you hear a lot of discussion about driverless cars.
Yep.
And now somebody's coming out with driverless trucks, I think San Francisco.
Probably.
Okay. And you've got all these vehicles that apparently have got all these sensors so that you don't have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I will never believe any of them.
Right.
But you know that there's a push going in that direction.
Yep.
Is any of that entering into the airline industry at all?
It is.
Other than how to lose baggage. that seems to have been mastered.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
No, it is. And again, you know, like our previous topic of conversation, a lot of that R&D and really pushing that boundary or threshold is happening throughout California. So there's a couple of companies out there that are really leading this charge. Beta Technologies, Joby Aviation, Overair is another big one. And those companies are all in that eVTOL, E-V-T-O-L is the acronym that they've labeled that group with. But electric vertical takeoff and landing.
Rockets?
Well, no, what it is really there's a belief and there's billions of dollars of investment going into this industry that the concept of, let's say, Brian, you were just telling me about a trip you're taking here coming up to a large metro area. So when you get to that large metro area, more than likely at the airport, you're either renting a car or you're calling an Uber or Lyft, right? And
I can only spell three-letter words. C-A-B instead of U-B-E-R. Yeah.
Well, Winston will. He's young and hip like I am. But
maybe the folks I'm traveling with can go four letters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. a lot of people take that Uber or Lyft option, and I've done it many a times. It's very convenient. Sometimes it's the cheaper option, and you don't need a rental car to get around. You're just kind of staying at home base. But that concept of just calling something on demand that has four wheels and drives across the road, there's a belief that there will be a large demand for that in these large metro areas where roadways are always congested, think Bay Area and L.A., to be able to call something that quietly comes and lands at a vertiport, they're calling them, where you drive in your neighborhood to this little vertiport, or maybe it's on top of a high rise. You go up there, you call your Uber or Lyft of the air, you get picked up, and then you get helicoptered essentially over to another location.
So it's like those games in the pizza parlor that have the claw?
Yeah, and you literally watch all the road congestion underneath you while you're flying over. Obviously, there's going to be a premium price tag on that. But part of that, when you ask about AI or automation, part of the research that's going on in that is, can we do this in a pilotless fashion?
Well, there were some, was it the FAA gave license for a driverless or cars that can fly?
Yep.
Which is obviously a whole different dimension also.
Yeah, and that's another area that's there's heavy investment going into, but you know, it's been announced for, I believe, a couple of years now, but L.A. is going to be hosting the 2028 Olympics. And a lot of the happenings...
Oh, boy, more debt for California.
Yeah, that's what we need. But, yeah, that's what's going on there, you know, from an aerial perspective, is there's a large anticipation and there's a high desire for these people coming in literally from all over the globe for this one event to be able to incorporate that in at LAX and beyond throughout the LA Metro. So people aren't arriving from, you know, whatever, a 12, 14, 16 hour flight from halfway around the world. And then they get to sit in traffic for 3 or 4 hours to get to where they're actually going.
Isn't that called a competitive home field advantage? not that Viking fans are familiar with that concept, but...
Minnesota sports in general, we never have that, but yeah.
Maybe the Twins.
A little bit, yeah. But no, it's something that, you know, I'm talking with the people that are doing that. I'm not investing a lot of time, certainly, because it's not going to impact us here in Humboldt, but... The FAA offices that we work with are obviously heavily involved in what they're trying to do related to those Olympics and really highlight what's happening in California as far as that R&D and maybe making this a reality someday.
So with the remodeling that you guys are planning doing in the process of, is there any infrastructure that is being put in to potentially accommodate this stuff, rather than, you know, doing the PG&E thing where after you pave the road, that's when you want to rip it up and drop in a new line?
Yeah, so what we've repaved right now is our main runway. Excuse me, getting over that cold. At ACV, the time to really make that investment and try to be prepared for the future is when you're tearing up your parking lot or you're tearing up your parking apron where the aircraft park. We haven't done either of those yet. What we are investing in when we do move into the parking lot rehabilitation later this year, when we tear that pavement out that's currently there, or what's left of it,
Beat me to the punch.
Yeah, I took his thunder away there. Is when we tear that up, we'll be putting the conduit in the ground and the infrastructure in the ground. And we'll be putting a few charging stations up. Unfortunately, the bids came in a little higher. So we won't get a ton of them in there, but we'll have the infrastructure underneath. So essentially, when we have money or we can get grant funding in the future to acquire more of these vehicle charging on the roadway side, we'll be able to essentially plug and play, and it won't be a huge construction project or tearing up asphalt that's only a couple years old.
So you have a whole bunch of empty conduit with big capacity running all over the place so you can run lines when you need to.
When you're ready for it. And when someday we get to redoing the apron, you know, by that point, fortunately, for the most part, the majority of our apron's in decent shape. We are hoping in a few years to do some work out there, but we'll be able to tell, you know, what is the actual future. You know, we'll have a lot better picture 3-4 years from now than we do today on what's going to become reality.
Yeah, you'll have a better sense of what 2030 looks like in 2029.
Exactly.
That's why we hire the pros around here. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Cody Rogatz. So what is the schedule for this spring at McKinleyville? Are you going to start tearing things up or just kind of squirting? I know you can't, so I'm going to say it anyway. Squirting Roundup, getting the weeds down, getting everything ready so that when the weather does finally break, that you've got a clean surface to work with.
Yeah, so we're anticipating starting the parking lot, which will be, you know, the most public-facing construction and impactful coming into this construction season for the public and our users. But March, April time frame, we're still here.
Oh, you love mud too.
Well, so it's something that we're still waiting for that final grant offer from the FAA, which we expect here in the next couple weeks. Take that before the board. Obviously hope for unanimous approval on accepting that money from the board. And then we can
sign. Is it a matching grant?
No, it's 100% actually.
Why the delay to take it to the soups?
Well, no, we just have
to get a blessing.
We have to get the official document of the grant offer from the FAA, then at the local level, take it to the soups because I don't have the authority to accept that money. The supervisors need to officially do that. And then we can sign the contract with Mercer Fraser and then get that final schedule in place. Of course, it's going to be weather dependent, but we're kind of working in two separate areas, if you will, both parking lots. But one is just northwest of the terminal. Right now, it's utilized for the rental car agencies to park some of their vehicles.
That's northwest?
That's northwest, yep. Across from that large hangar. To the west. Of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I was thinking
that hill that's got all the
when
cars
you come around
it.
The corner.
Yep. Right to the north of that corner, as you're pulling away from the terminal. But we'll start up there, so there really won't be much at all for impacts to the public on that side of it. But the goal there is to get those 60-ish spaces, you know, completed and open to the public, because we're going to need those spaces as we start breaking down the current parking lot within the loop and rehabilitating that in different segments, so we still have enough parking as we get into it. But
you're not getting down the trees?
Nope. There's there the trees as you come in. No, there's a couple of old stumps in there that we'll rip out because we're leveling it off.
Right.
So it's not a tiered system like you see where you have to go up steps. It's going to be one flat surface there inside the loop for people to park in, and easily accessible even from the farthest spots to walk back into the terminal and vice versa. So it'll be a lot more user-friendly just from the parking aspect and the walking aspect, but certainly on the entry and exit as well, and much quicker.
Does that mean we won't have those big posts that
we won't have the big
paint off of vehicles?
That, and we won't have the big box. It'll be a small box that you stick your credit card in, and away you go. So it'll be a lot quicker, especially on that exit, where right now just the sheer layout of the parking lot doesn't allow for processing very quickly.
Yeah, you kind of get clunked up a little bit.
But yeah, so
that's all right.
It'll be nice to be modern in that respect. So after
how long is the construction period for this?
That one in totality, we're only expecting 90 days. So,
30, really? You're going to turn it in 3 months?
Yep. So
weather permitting.
Right. So 30 on the smaller lot to the north, and then 60 on the loop lot. So
Boy, you're going to be known as King Cody.
No.
If you can pull it off in 3 months, nobody has seen anything along those lines.
I'll give a shout out to the project manager, I think, that will be managing it for Mercer. His name is actually Cody King, and we worked closely with Cody and his crew over there to successfully pull off that 12-day closure.
That's two trips to Burger King now. Jeez.
But no, the Mercer team, I think we talked about it last time I was here. They were phenomenal, Cody and his whole crew to work with, and they busted their butt for that runway project and putting down a lot of asphalt really quickly so we could get reopened. And I know they'll do the same for our parking lot, and we're really proud to have that partner locally. So
that's hardly long enough to be a disruption for most folks.
It really is.
Unless you really are a super frequent flyer.
Yeah, and you will see, obviously we'll have signage up for the temporary parking locations and everything, but we just ask people to be understanding and patient when they pull up. It's not going to be fun for those 90 days, I will assure you, but we're going to try to minimize the headaches as much as possible. We actually, in our plans, have, this will be a little fun for some that like to get closer to the aircraft, but we're taking out temporarily one of the airplane parking spots on the terminal ramp and going to turn that into vehicle parking for a part of this. So there will be temporary fencing up, so you can't just walk out to the airplane. We still have the security parameters we have to follow and rules from the TSA, but it will give you a little closer glimpse of the aircraft you're about to go in and through screening to hop on while you're parking your car during that time.
Well, you know, and if anybody complains, just say at least it's not the county fair.
Well, that I'll just
you're
tell
not
them
in the cow field.
Yeah, exactly. And it was Brian's idea.
Perfect. Perfect. That'll build the fan club up.
Yep.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you very much for having me.
See everybody tomorrow.